Now verses 19 and 20 of chapter 14, and I'm reading in my translation. And the angel cast his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the winepress, the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. And there came out blood from the winepress, even unto the bridles of the horses, as far as 1,600 furlongs. And without the city means Jerusalem. And unto the bridles of the horses means about 3 or 4 feet deep. And 1,600 furlongs is about 185 miles. And that's the distance from Dan to Beersheba. All of Palestine is the scene of this final war that ends in what is called Armageddon. It is a campaign beginning about the middle of the Great Tribulation and is concluded by the personal return of Christ to the earth. Psalm 45, verse 3 gives us that. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness, hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Psalm 45 is a messianic psalm. Now, I make no apology for saying all of this. And God hasn't asked me to apologize for his word. He's told me to give it out. We need to face up to the facts. Sin is an awful thing. Sin is in the world. You and I are sinners, and the only remedy is the redemption that Christ offered when he shed his blood for you and me and paid the penalty for our sins. And you and I merit the judgment of God. And our only escape is to accept the work of Christ on Calvary's cross for us. And the Bible asks a question that even God can't answer, and it is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Escape what? Judgment. The great tribulation is judgment. And the way out is to accept Christ. Call it an escape mechanism if you want to. But my friend, when the house is on fire, I'll go out a window. I'll go out anyway. That is an escape mechanism. And this judgment must inevitably come on Christ's rejecters. Men have rejected him and treated his sacrifice as an unclean thing. They've trodden underfoot the Son of God. And if God is just, and he is, there will be judgment. And this age needs to hear that, but it's not hearing it today. There's so much given, little methods of living the Christian life. My friend, there's nothing that'll straighten you out like knowing that our God is a holy God and the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous, and he's not going to tolerate sin in your life and my life. Now, that's the thing that is needed today. And I notice that many are saying that little Willie should be disciplined. I'm amazed at some of the psychologists today are saying it wasn't because Mama didn't love him as much as she should have. That the trouble with little Willie is he's just a mean little brat. That's his problem. He's a mean little brat, and he should be turned across your knee and not treated like a cross between a piece of Dresden china and an orchid, but that the Board of Education should be applied to the seat of knowledge today. May I say that there is abroad today a viewpoint that I think is rather new, but it is a viewpoint that the Christian and the church, of course, will go through the Great Tribulation period. And I have an article here from a magazine of a man who actually is a layman, and yet he has the audacity to write like this. He says, there is a shallow Christianity moving across our land. Those who do not have deep roots in Christ shrink from the idea that God would test his people with the tribulation or that he would use suffering to help the church make herself ready as a bride for Christ. Very clearly, though, suffering is the pathway to glory. We are called to it. Why? Because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. As a result of this thinking, I no longer teach Christians they'll not have to go through the tribulation. Maybe they won't, but I can do more for them, preparing them to face testing in his name than by teaching them that the Lord is going to rapture them out of the hour of trial. And he uses the verse, there is a tremendous growth in that person who puts on the whole armor of God that he may be able to withstand in the evil day. Well, may I say to you that the Great Tribulation is not called the evil day. It's called the day of God's wrath, the great day of God's wrath. That's the way it's spoken of in the Bible, and how anyone can read what we've been over and study what we've been over and believe that this would purify the church to go through this and to make a statement that the bride's got to make herself ready. What do you think Christ did when he died on the cross? He made us ready there. And you and I, we'll never become worthy to enter his presence. We're going to enter in Christ. And my friend, you can't add anything to that. That notion that's abroad today, to attempt to equate that hour of trial with the great day of the wrath of God that's coming on this earth. Now, the church has been delivered from that, and Revelation has made that clear. This 144,000 here that we are looking at, why, they've already been identified for us as Israelites, and even the tribes are identified here. So there's no way in the world of saying that's the church. And that great company of Gentiles are Gentiles, not the church, the bride of Christ at all. This 144,000 have come through, and we have seen that God was able to keep them in the great tribulation period. Now, it's not a question of whether God could keep the church in the great tribulation period. Of course, he can keep the church, if that was his will and plan. But that is not his will and plan, according to the Word of God. The Lord Jesus said, I'm going to keep you from that hour that is coming on this earth, that terrible time of testing that's coming. I like to put it like this. The church is not going through the great tribulation, but we're going through the little tribulation. I think all of us have troubles and trials, and I don't know of a Christian that doesn't have problems and difficulties, and it seems like the more wonderful the saint of God is, the more they suffer down here. But this is where God's developing us today as his children, and we never become wonderful saints of God. We're just his little children, immature, undeveloped, and when we come into his presence, we'll not come there because we've been through the great tribulation. And then, friends, most of the church has missed the great tribulation. Millions for 1,900 years have died and already gone into the presence of Christ. And I hope you're not going to say he's going to bring them back to put them through the great tribulation. I don't think so. Most of the church has missed it. At best, there'll only be a very small percentage, and probably you want to adopt the opinion that that crowd needs it. I always felt these people that believe the church will go through the great tribulation, they always felt I should go through it. I deserve it. I grant that. But I also deserve hell. But I'm not going to get it because Christ bore it for me, and I've trusted him. And I'm not going through the great tribulation. Why? because he died for me, and he saves me by his grace. Now, isn't the one who says he's rich in grace, isn't he able to deliver me out of this? He says he's able to deliver me out of even the trials today. And he's been wonderful to me, cured me of cancer. And he has put me through two operations, major operations. And I want to tell you, I feel like I've been through a little tribulation period. And a preacher said to me, you know, I can tell that there's a difference in your ministry after you've gone through all of this. Well, I trust there is. I think he did it for a purpose. But to say I've been through the great tribulation and that I ought to go through it, and I wonder if this brother's really ever suffered for Christ. These folk that talk that way, I wonder how much suffering they've endured. I sat with a preacher that believes that. He's a friend of mine, and he was eating a T-bone steak. And he talked about the church going through the great tribulation. This man was holding a meeting for me years ago when I was a pastor back east. And he thought the church would go through the great tribulation period. Talked about it as nonchalantly as if the church was probably going to wade through a river or go through a very hot summer or experience an energy shortage or something like that. But he never thought of it as being as terrible as it is depicted for us here. And is God misrepresenting here to us? I want to scare you, and I'll tell you how terrible the great tribulation is, but really it's not. Well, my friends, there are places here where he's used symbols. And you know why he used symbols? Not because you can evaporate it and dismiss it, but because the reality that the symbol represents is lots worse than the symbol, because many of these things beg a description. There's not language. Even God could not communicate to us, not because God's not able, but we're dull of hearing. He's told us that, and that we don't always understand. And I'm afraid that great many folk just don't seem to get it, that the great tribulation is a terrible thing. And this is miraculous. This 144,000 came through, and he didn't lose one of them. Why? Because they're all big, strong, robust fellas? Oh, no, friends. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's the way they did it.